Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Deep Point Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel Paul, and in the studio we meet here today, I'm having,
Polo
and Tim Godwin.
Good. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast today.
Thank you.
I don't think you had a choice.
Exactly. You did not.
Right. But yeah, it's been a fun week, and we're hearing some very, very, very curious things happening in Nigeria's tech space, around Africa, and on the global stage. And first of all, the company that has come under fire very, very recently, Patricia, posted an update, but there's something weird going on there still, right?
Yep.
Then X is making some interesting moves. Then if you watch to the end, we're going to be talking about Anambra, the state that houses one of Nigeria's most popular trade destinations called Onitsha. Anambra is a very, very, very interesting story, and they're doing some interesting things with technology here, but there are so many things to uncover. So let's start with Patricia. What is the update? Sharp, sharp.
All right. So if you are not familiar with everything that's been happening with Patricia, right, I'll just give you a quick recap of what has been going on. So Patricia got hacked a few months ago this year,
okay,
and they had to stop withdrawals on the platform. So a lot of people who had money on that platform have not been able to access their money.
Patricia, the crypto platform,
yes,
right?
Patricia, the crypto exchange. The crypto exchange founded by Anu Fejiro. So recently, they gave us some updates on how they plan to refund people who had money on the platform. And they said, oh, we've launched a new token, like their own token that they created themselves, and that they'll be converting that token. You'll be converting Naira and BTC. Like if you're holding Naira and BTC on the platform, they will convert it to that's their own token that they've created. And then there was a lot of outburst. People did not receive it well. I mean, you can imagine
did I beg you?
If you've had money on a platform for a very long time, right? I put 50,000 Naira there. Then you're telling me that, okay, your 50,000 Naira, I'll use it and give you 50,000 Naira Bulu coin. You'll be like, guy.
BTK. Yeah, I saw that in the last episode. Interesting one. So what's the core update right now?
The core update now is they are trying to explain to us what exactly they mean by launching their own token.
So what do they mean?
Patricia token. And then what they mean is it's a debt token, right? It's a debt token, which simply what they're trying to say is, okay, I know I'm owing you money, right?
So it's an IOU.
Exactly. So what I'm doing is, I'm owing you 50K. I'm going to give you 50K Bulu coin, give you 50K Bulu coin. And then you can now change it, swap it for what you used to have. That's basically what they are saying.
Swap it where?
Swap it on their own platform.
They have to give me.
So that's the interesting part. Now, they created a white paper for that Bulu coin, where they also explained how people will be able to recover their funds. And then what they said is, you can only convert it to USDT, right? And it's not even as if they've started giving people that coin yet, one. It's not even as if they've started allowing people to now swap that coin for real money. And then they're also now saying that coin will be released to people. It's not as if it's happen immediately. They'll be releasing it small, depending on how profitable the company is.
Depending on how profitable the company is. So I noticed you've been very, very measured in the way you've reported on Patricia. Mm-hmm. And I was reading your article like, Bolu, there's nothing you want to tell me. You are being biased. I'm going to accuse you of that.
Oh my God.
You are being biased with this, your crypto people.
Okay.
Because this is, let's call a spade.
It's
good. So this is, let's imagine you saved money in dollar at with your dorm account, and your bank now wakes up and tell you that they've converted all the dollar to naira. That is a very, very legitimate thing, because the naira is still a very, very accepted medium of exchange. But me, I know I will vex because I saved in dollars.
Yeah.
Now you're not even telling me that you are changing it from not Bitcoin, not USDT, but to a coin that never existed in the first place. You know what? I'll leave you and your God. but that is actually not a nice thing. And that white paper, is what is it backed by? What is there a reserve that is backing? Okay,
so
this
the whole
money?
Backing thing now, based on their new explanation, right? The whole backing thing does not really matter, because it means it's just going to be an internal token. Right.
So
which means as long as I
money.
Have it, yes, which means like it's just going to be like, okay, TechPoint is giving people bonuses in the office, right? And then TechPoint is saying, oh, we are giving you
TechPoint can only give you bonus if TechPoint is making money. What
yeah,
money is
okay,
Patricia making?
No, I'm just trying to explain how that token will work. It's like, okay, I'll give you you get TechPoint points, right? You did good this year, so you get 50 TechPoint points, right? So, and then they now say you can redeem those TechPoint points with whatever you want. Maybe you want money or you want a vacation, something like that. So that's how it's going to work.
That does not make sense.
No evidence. No single evidence.
So the thing now is, I've explained how that token will work. The thing now is, where is the money that you want to give people? If people now say,
exactly,
okay, I have my TechPoint points, right?
My TP.
Yes, my TP points. Nice one, thank you. I have my TP points. Where is TechPoint going to get that money to now give me? Okay, say I have 50,000 TechPoint points, and TechPoint is telling me those TP points are valued in dollars. Okay, where are you going to get the $50,000 to give me? Right, that is where the question is now. But the founder has said, They are doing some fundraising, and they've been largely successful at it.
They've been large, like people actually give them money.
Yes.
So wow.
let me.
I respect investors, that's and I respect founders even more.
I mean, Chigozie,
you want to say something? No, I don't want to hear your voice. Chigozie, you want to say something?
Don't
say something.
Hey.
Largely successful based on whose words?
Based on the founder's words, Nabi, will he be lying to you?
He has all the incentive to lie, so why not?
I mean, yes, he does.
He has every incentive to lie.
But we don't know if he is or he isn't.
So the only thing we've not done right now is to call this an outright scam.
Yes, that's the only thing we've not done. But here's it.
Because we do not know if it is.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. let's move on. So, yeah, talking about X, I'm hearing X has gotten a money transfer license and they want to start handling crypto. Just bond everything. Just give me the lowdown in one sentence.
The lowdown is X, formerly known as Rita, has been able to get money transfer licenses in 7 states in the US. And okay, the recent one was in Rhode Island. This, and I don't know why a lot of people are focusing on the crypto part, maybe because of Elon Musk. Is history with cryptocurrencies, but it's not just crypto. This actually means they can become a mini Stripe, right? Where they can facilitate. So you sell something on Twitter, you can now
pay.
There's no need for a third party to
so
actually
you post pay inside Twitter. So how does it affect us here in good old Nigeria?
So how it affects us in Nigeria is, I mean, if they are making these moves in the US, Twitter is a global platform. US platform, but it's a global platform. So if they are making these moves in the US, it is most likely that they will do the same across all the countries where people use the platform.
Okay, that's the gist. That's the main gist.
But
okay,
will they?
I don't think they will. They are just in 7 states. Stripe, as big as they are, barely just started putting their footprint in Africa.
True.
So think about
it. So I mean, even if they were able to get licenses in all US states, why bother with Nigeria?
Why bother?
Kenya,
okay, I think this is now where the crypto part now comes to play.
Okay.
If they now decided they want to go the crypto route,
okay,
it's free game. Anybody from anywhere is free to play. Well, let's not go too deep into it, because
okay,
I mean, there's also regulatory things to consider.
Exactly. So, but I think what is free for everybody is AI. Everybody wants to do AI. Everybody wants to jump into AI. Yeah. And our dear old country is trying to develop an AI policy. Give us a lowdown about that too.
All right. Yeah. So, our newest one of the
is
newest
there a reason why Bolu is taking all the stories back to back? Okay. Fine. Go on.
I mean. Don't
let me go. You want to be proud now?
No. All right, so our dear, okay, don't let me say that. Well, Bosun Tijani, the new minister.
Your dear old country.
Yes, our IT minister, digital minister, tech bro minister.
He's the minister of communications, exactly. Innovations, and the digital economy.
Yes, good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, he has announced plans to create an AI strategy for Nigeria.
Okay.
Right. He announced it on Twitter and he's looking for stakeholders, looking for experts in that place that will come together and create this AI strategy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about creating an AI strategy in the country, it's very important because, I mean, we've seen how fast this technology is moving and, you know, I think someone, I can't remember who said this, but the time where we wait for regulation to catch up with
technology. Yes, I'm the one that said it.
Elon Musk.
I'm the one that said it.
Okay.
I'm the one that said it. We've had this conversation.
Maybe
like,
you said so.
You know, this is not the first time that that ministry is saying they want an AI policy.
Okay.
We have had that conversation before. And we debating.
Okay, so what's new now? What's the main gist?
So the main gist is that creating an AI strategy is important for the country because, one, we do not want to be left behind in that space. Which, I mean, considering we don't have that many experts on the subject, we don't have that many companies. We have them, but we don't have that many. I mean, compared to other sectors, fintech and co, we don't have that many. And considering how profitable AI could be in the next few years, I think some estimates say it will contribute about $15 trillion to global GDP. So that's really something I think Nigeria should not miss out on. And I like that it's one of the first things Bosun Tijani is focusing on, again, because of how fast it is moving and because of how behind. We are really behind when it comes to AI. So, but I think if Bosun Tijani will ask me and say, okay, what should we do? I think one of the first things they need to focus on will be STEM. They need the education should be like the bedrock of this strategy because you don't even, who wants to teach you? How many people can actually say they want to teach AI in Nigeria?
But is that even in, right? Is that under his purview in the first place?
Well, I mean, if you look at the AI strategies of other countries, for example, China, education is like a big, huge part of it, right? Getting people to get those degrees, people to go out and study and then come back and transfer. So I think we should we can take from every other person's own, but I think that China's own really...
It really speaks to what could be in Nigeria. Yeah. And I think I agree. And to speak to Chingozirin's point about if that STEM education thing is under his purview, again, I feel regulators, ministries, MDAs should start talking to each other more. A lot could be achieved. For the Ministry of Education wants to push a STEM policy in the educational sector. It shouldn't be doing it alone. The Ministry of Communications has a network of a lot of companies in the digital space, in the technology space, that could actually aid the Ministry of Education. Yeah. Also, another ministry too is the Ministry of Science and Technology. Mm-hmm. So that one is more research, R&D focused. So core science research is in that ministry. Mm-hmm. So collaborating with these two ministries, so talking about ICT, you're coming to meet Bosun Tijani, talking about the Ministry of, why can't I remember her name right now? But the Ministry of Science and Technology is another ministry that they could collaborate with. So many, many things that they could be talking to each other. And Bosun looks like he wants to take the ecosystem along, right? He has already invited a lot of ecosystem people to Abuja already. Even Muiwa was there from TechCoins.
If you ask me, I think these guys you mentioned, I'll pick them first over the ecosystem guys. And it may be an unpopular opinion, But my own views on AI policy is more around the way it affects regular human beings.
Okay.
Especially for Africa.
Okay.
Just creating policies ensures people don't get exploited as companies either start using AI or things like that. Because it doesn't need to be Nigerians who build that AI for it to affect you.
Hmm.
It could be, we've seen some Altman room around the world. It could be OpenAI, for example.
Hmm. Coming and to scam my eyes. Okay,
yeah, so that could be where we focus. But for that, I don't know if you've seen a few people who are wondering why he's starting with an AI policy. But I kind of get the criticism. To my actual point, I think ecosystem people can't. Nigeria's tech ecosystem is actually Lagos, if you are being honest. It's actually Lagos. But you have 35 other states that, if you really want an encompassing AI growth, you should drag these people along. And if you ask me, I'll go to the Ministry of Science and Technology for obvious reasons.
Mm.
NITRA, for example, has always been running programs where they are training people across the country. I think they had one with Kaduna State recently.
NITRA is in the Communications Ministry.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's under its purview. So if I collaborate with Ministry of Science and Technology, for example, can I establish STEM clubs across all Unity secondary schools? That's the one that I know that is easy for them. Can you encourage private schools to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Across all federal universities, can we establish like mini tech parks where there's actual government involvement? You don't need to change your curriculum, because that's where it gets really difficult. Of course, we need a curriculum change, sort of. But can we have mini tech parks or mini hubs in every federal university to encourage STEM education? Can we have students learning? So you don't even have to create a computer science department. It could be, I import people. They are not tied to any one department. They just come there, they do research, students come learn from them, and you go your way. But it's fully funded by the government. I think it's a more effective policy. Of course, the ecosystem guys can give you their learnings from working in Lagos and maybe Abuja and a few other places. But I think carrying these other ministries along helps us to, I think it gives us a better chance of getting to more Nigerians.
More Nigerians, okay. Yeah, and
So I think you guys are also kind of missing something that he did. So, you know, the tweet he sent out was not him even saying that they are trying to do an AI policy. It was him asking people to recommend Nigerians and people of Nigerian descent that have experience in AI. So basically, I feel that he can also apply that like all around.
Across
not just looking for Nigerians, but people that are of Nigerian descent or are living abroad that are Nigerians, like that actually have way more experience than what we currently have. So I feel that's what's called the strategy he took with this can be applied across board for anything that he wants to do.
I'm not sure I get you. Applied in
like, if he's trying to create strategies or trying to create policies or trying to find solutions to things, okay, like the thing that you said that he invited ecosystem people, he might not just need to invite ecosystem people. He can invite people that are not in the ecosystem that have experience with whatever it is that he's talking about.
Okay, I think I get what she's saying. So just the way he's been able to collaborate with the ecosystem, can also collaborate with other pockets of expertise in science and technology, like you mentioned, in education ministry, like you mentioned, in Unity schools around. If that is a focus for him, he could actually spearhead it and collaborate with people in different places, just the way he's already trying to do. And I like the call for Nigerians in Nigeria and in diaspora, because I think there are a lot of Nigerians doing amazing stuff. I talked with a senior product manager at NVIDIA in 2020, doing amazing stuff with AI, Alex Sado. And that time, NVIDIA, it looked like, for us, many of us now, NVIDIA is like one of the most valuable companies in the world because of AI. But then many people didn't know that aspect of NVIDIA. Mm. when you see Nvidia, you're thinking gaming laptops. Or, yeah, but right now, we both know that Nvidia is the one powering most of the AI models that are being trained abroad. So, but we have experts working at Nvidia in Nigeria, experts working at Nvidia outside Nigeria, and also other companies too, IBM. Yeah, that's a bunch of them, right? Even OpenAI, there are Nigerians working there. So a lot could be achieved with something like this. So, but your question is, how does it affect the regular people? I think that's a story for another day. Do you agree? Good. So tell us about Airtel and Uganda.
Yes. So Airtel is, they are currently selling some of their shares to the public, basically to raise about $216 million. And it started, I think, today is the 31st, yeah. It started yesterday, and it would end October 13th. So after that, it will be made available. So for every 100 shares you purchase, they are giving extra 5 shares. So just, I was looking at the story, and I wish I was in Uganda. I'd probably, not probably, I'll definitely get it, because I think I would, if any telco is listing right now, I'll get their shares.
Did you get MTN shares last time? No, I missed that, so it's still paying me.
I did.
Did. Interesting. And yeah, just playing with us, yeah, as if we are mates.
She has collected dividend this year now. And wow. She's not talked to us.
Wow. Anyway, right.
I'm telling you, she just collected it under the radar.
It's not like there's anything in the dividend, but let's continue.
The 5K shares you bought. Well, if it's 5K, your dividend may be like 5 naira.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think to Trimbo's point, if you have the opportunity and any major technology company is actually listing in your country, try to jump on the opportunity. It's a good, if you have
this money, is not financial advice.
Obviously. But yeah, I think it's a good opportunity. And I think I like the sentiment behind it, even though it gets weird sometimes, where it's tried to establish ownership. So where you can really say, oh, Airtel is not just an Indian telecommunications giant, it's our own. Just the way we are talking with Airtel Africa and MTN Nigeria in Nigeria here, we can say, oh, MTN Nigeria is a Nigerian company. So anybody who is saying South Africa, oh, Indian company, they should get out. No, people, very, very, very large number of Nigerians, including Onome here,
yes,
have stakes in this company. So I think it's a good one. It's a good one. So, yeah, and you mentioned about the tech ecosystem being just in Lagos.
Yeah.
But a lot of states have actually been trying to make moves to attract investors, attract tech experts to their state, and the fundamentals is always internet connectivity. So we're hearing Anambra has removed right of way charges.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with this news. Something just happened right now. But here's the problem with this story. Yes, Anambra's announced that they've removed right of way again. Yes, a lot of media companies are carrying it as if it's new. I don't know what happened between 2020 and 2023. Did they increase it again? And now they are now slashing it. But in 2020, Anambra, Kaduna actually waived right of way charges. Now, for those who are not familiar with what I'm talking about, so internet connectivity, for it to move from, so internet connectivity is basically a network of computers, in the internet rather, is a network of computers across the globe. And internet from in Africa usually involves a cable called a fiber optic cable that comes from US and Europe to Africa. So the cable is laid under the seabed with very, very specialized ships, and it lands on the coast of Africa. So in Lagos, in Accra, and all those other states. What happens is, once it lands on that coast, it's usually a tough task to get from the coast to your house, my house, and everybody's houses. So what is happening right now in Africa is, or especially in Nigeria, is we have a lot of capacity on the coast. So once the cable lands at a cable landing station or a data center, they now use that cable. So it's the subsea cable that lands at the cable start a landing station on land. Then they now use terrestrial cable to carry it to the different houses. Not your house, shower, it's base stations close to you. base stations, those masts. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, but the issue
there's
is
mast in my house actually.
There's mast inside your house, Bolu.
Close to my house. Yeah. I meant close to my house.
Okay. So, but do you have fiber in your house, like fiber
he
internet?
He does inside his room.
No. Okay. Unfortunately, but I noticed that once they take light, network used to go.
Network used to go. So you guys, your base station don't have gen.
There's gen. No, I don't know what
they do.
Is.
They have gen.
So what is happening?
Once lights go,
I don't understand.
Interesting.
I think you should talk to them one day.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, that's the so. For you to lay the cable from, this is Ikeja right now, and you want to take it, this is Allen, you want to take it to Computer Village, for every meter, most states are charging between 1,500 naira per meter to 5,000 naira per meter.
That's a lot.
Federal government says the standard price is 140 naira per meter. That is the license.
And 100x.
They added 100 and something x, 5,000 naira per meter. So, different states now have their own policies, right? So when you go to your grandmother in the village and your internet connection is not working well, these are the issues we are talking about. It is very, very difficult for the telcos to lay this fiber cable to that village because they will have to pay this amount.
Exorbitant amount.
Very exorbitant amount. Then they have to go and think about how to install base stations in those places. So what you are usually left with in those villages is just radio waves. So if we've that's why you have to go on a tree to set. That's why you have to carry phone to your window.
People still have to go on
in those villages. Oh, when did you go to your village?
I was living in school.
That is the case. So by the time the government is charging you 5,000 naira per linear meter and all of that, that is the problem. So now Anambra is waving it. Again. Good, and they are waving it again. What happened the first time?
Maybe this second time is a reminder.
It's a reminder just to tell everyone, we waved though. Now, this is the problem with that.
So, one question. Yeah. 2020, when did Soludo become governor?
I don't remember when Soludo became. You should know more than me now.
they don't operate our regular election cycle. So it's always. You can go ahead. The reason I'm asking is maybe it was the previous government that waved it.
It was probably the previous government.
If that's the case, then maybe. Because I know he has been doing, or at least his government, they've been trying to introduce some tech initiatives.
Soludo.
His government has
okay.
been trying.
Yeah, yeah, that is perfectly fine. But my own is, did you disrupt the one that you met?
Well, that's a good question.
But I think I understand the issue here, right? It's personally, and of course, you guys are invited to debunk this, but I think it doesn't make business sense for random states scattered around Nigeria to just remove right of way.
Why?
Because it's coming from the shore in Lagos. How many coastal cities do you have in Nigeria?
Because it's coming from Lagos.
Yes, Lagos.
It doesn't make sense. So that means, what are you trying
for
to
the
say?
Cable to get to Anambra or Kaduna, it has to pass through other states.
Oh, and those states too will collect their money.
So it's actually a very, very, very difficult endeavor to say, oh, you want to carry your. What I'm saying is like an oversimplified version of how it actually works, right? Engineers would actually be able to explain better how this works. But these are my concerns. Even if you waive, does it make business sense to carry? Because the cables themselves are actually expensive. Buying it, they are imported. And you have your FX issues to deal with. Do you get?
Telcos are trying.
So you have FX issues. They are no longer so. Normally, before this naira float, they were sourcing dollars at official rates. Now they are sourcing it at this high 800 to 900 rate. So does it make business sense to carry it to that state? Is there a way they can carry the capacity in from the subsea cable that landed in Lagos without having to pass through the states? It's possible they could pass the water, probably, but that's extra expenses. So
can they land at, say, I don't know, Port Harcourt? So we have other.
What is the incentive to land there? That's the question. What is the incentive to
land in Lagos?
Lagos, this is where all your businesses are, Mike. This is where all the businesses
incentives
are.
Incentives to land in Port Harcourt. Let's see.
So they are actually. So. to be very, very clear, actually, some of these cables are actually there, but mostly they are targeting businesses. So, for instance, there's a, from what I learned, there's a special network that companies like Shell and Chevron use, and it's just them. Nobody else on that. This thing. They're not carrying traffic for everybody.
Mad.
They're carrying traffic for those themselves, and they're and their system is connected worldwide. So, there are special networks like that. So beyond that, what is the incentive to actually go there? And in Port Harcourt, Port Harcourt has right of River State, they've not waived right of way fees, to my knowledge. So if they land in Port Harcourt, they will have to pass to River State to get to Anambra. But please, I'm willing to come back and eat my words if everything I've been saying is bubble. But this is the reality that we are facing right now. And it's a very, very, very difficult business that we're talking about. Then after, let's say you find a way to get the cables to Anambra State, and if we right of way charges, are you going to stop constructing roads? If they construct roads, all the roads they're constructing in Lagos, they were actually destroying Teco cables.
You know, even if they don't construct roads, so this was an experience. I've not seen it a lot recently, but back when I still lived in Aba, like every few weeks or every few months, they were digging up those cables.
Mm.
And I just couldn't understand
why. Aba?
Yeah.
They were digging up cables.
Yeah. Like, so it wasn't vandalism now. It was just, they were just digging up these cables like every few months. And I couldn't understand why. Well, I never asked. I still do not understand it. Like, in a year, you could dig up the cables 3 or 4 times.
Mm.
And this isn't when road construction is happening, just regularly. And it's usually by the side of the road. So they just dig it up. And sometimes they'll tell you that they're laying. So in my mind, I felt, okay, they're just laying the cables. But then, a few months later, they're still digging up the same places. So, I don't know.
Okay, so
probably someone has to explain that.
But yeah, so there are different reasons why they might be if it's the companies themselves that are digging it up, there might be an issue with the cable and they're trying to fix it.
Okay.
But if it is not the companies, then that is vandalism as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
If it's the companies themselves that are digging up the cables. So, for instance, Fiber One could be trying to run maintenance, weather condition could have affected the cable somewhere and they're trying to trace where. It even happens under the sea where there can be issue with the cable and you have to trace where it came from. So
sounds expensive.
Yes. So if that happens, but what you normally see is a lot of vandalism occurs because maybe the telco has not settled who they're supposed to settle in that area. So they go and dig it up to threaten them. There's road construction going on. Was there anything going on? So, for instance, in Lagos, we all saw the unified fiber, this thing where they were digging up pipes around the states. And now everybody's waiting. Okay, what's next? Oh, yeah, you finished digging. Okay, what's next? Oh, yeah, come and give us space. Yeah, come and pay. How much? Almost the same thing they were asking for right of way. So, all those things, so many, many issues. And for those who are listening and probably wondering what these guys are saying, if these cables are cut, your internet connection will be very, very terrible and you will start insulting your telco. If anything happens to the base station, say they went to off the gen there, it happens. You people are laughing. It happens. They seize the base station. And they will not just seize all these communities we're talking about. They will not just seize a base station. They will seize a base station that is like connected to others.
Yeah.
So if you shut down one, you're shutting down plenty.
Really funny thing. How do they even know those things?
They know.
They are not professionals. But
They know. There are like 3 major base stations like that in Lagos. If you go and shut down any one of them, the large chunk of Lagos will be disconnected and you'll be like, oh, it'll be like MTN does not want to do telco again. It should go into farming. Or Airtel should try to start selling a car, those kind of thing.
MTN and Airtel, they've not gotten to that point.
Ah.
The others know themselves.
The others know themselves. But yeah, that's an issue. And I think summary, is there a reason why Anambra is announcing this again? What happened the last time? Why couldn't initiatives be built to try and incentivize telcos to actually go there? Because, yeah, if the government creates incentive for these guys to go there, beyond this right of way, this thing, they will go. Onitsha is a very huge market. Imagine connecting thousands of businesses and all of that. Then number two, you just heard us discussing it, all the issues that these telcos are facing. And yeah, only God knew when your internet connection would be.
So I'm just wondering, is there a place where Elon Musk and Starlink come in?
That is where So not Starlink. That is, you are looking at Avanti, you're looking at Eutelsat and Yahsat. Those, Eutelsat is the satellite service provider for DStv. So what they also do on the side is also provide satellite internet service for the telcos. So telcos don't actually have to go to some of all these communities to offer services. Avanti does the same thing. They have their telecom partners, not Starlink. Not Starlink. And I have to emphasize that. So Eutelsat has been working with Connect. Satellite internet operators are actually helping these telcos hit rural areas, give them connectivity, and area boys cannot go and seize the satellite and off gen. That kind of thing.
I mean, so maybe government should be considering.
I think there's a lot for government to do in a lot of our problems. Government has hand in most of the problems we have.
Your government is fragmented. Even if the federal government, to my knowledge, has been very cooperative. But you have 36 different governments.
Or maybe they are cooperative because they know that the buck doesn't stop with them. That could be why they are cooperative. Yes. Basically, they'll tell people to go and do something when they know that execution is largely in your hands.
And that means policies or I don't know, whatever needs to change. Because, for example, why this thing should be uniform?
The
right of way charges.
See, you can't. It can't be uniform because it's not you that will tell me what I'll do in my own state.
No. You know the crazy thing. You know the crazy thing. They've actually called all these governors together in one place, and they've already agreed.
Exactly. So you can agree, and someone will get back home and decide those guys are talking to themselves. They're not doing again. So how do you want to do?
And apart from state government, even if your state governor agree, you have to consider local government chairman. You have to consider Oba, consider Bale,
they should not call all the stakeholders so that we just have.
I mean, stakeholders.
I think if a governor is serious, he can do it. It's easier for them at that level because they are closest to the problem. So if a governor, let's say, I think if you're in a good state, it should be easy to just move the cables from Lagos. So let's say Ogun State or your state decides to do that. It's easier for them to do that. They can easily rein in the local government chairman. This is illegal, but just remind them that local government elections could always be cancelled for starters. Remind them you can do what Wike did where he was treating traditional rulers like kids, right? So you could use both carrot and stick. I'm not giving people bad ideas. You guys already have it, but it's easier for them. So I think if governors are serious about attract or like driving growth of technology in their states, I think it could go a long way. It could go a long way. So.
Okay, let's see how Anambra and Kaduna too. They wave right of way.
Have your states. help me to help you people. I mean, they ask me where I'm from. I can.
Your people are digging up cables every two market days.
I won't call that one vandalism. I think it's probably the companies because it's done in broad daylight.
Okay.
So, but please, you should help me. Let's start with Startup Act. Yeah. Let's start. You can domesticate it, even though I know domesticating is just bobo. But let's start with that one first. Thank you.
I think the governments, even the governments that are making a show of supporting technology, should put their money where their announcements are.
Yep.
So, I think that's pretty much it. We had MultiChoice has written down $108 million investment. Wait, they've written down $108 million on its investment in betting company Kingmakers. Interesting. Then MTN Nigeria signs 5G MOU with Seplat Energy. I think what's the story behind here? Using solar to... Okay. That's an interesting one. I would dig into this more. So, we've had a lot of interesting conversations. And I hope you enjoyed everything we've discussed today. Everything from Elon Musk transmitting money to Patricia and
I almost sang the Elon Musk song.
Patricia, then, of course, Nigeria's AI policy, Etta Uganda listing, and Anambra and right of way. I wish I could do a separate video about it. It's a very, very, very important aspect of your digital economy. If you hear stories of Yaba in the olden days and how they wanted to make it Silicon Valley, one of the underlying infrastructure behind Yaba in those days was Main One's cable. Government gave them free rein to lay cable in Yaba. and a lot of companies gravitated towards that place. So a lot of things could happen when the government is actually very, very, very deliberate. And of course, people try to protect all our infrastructure. Where from power, don't say there's mercury inside transformer. You want to sell the mercury. Please, God, please. Yes. So, and of course, don't mind Chingozirim. The tech ecosystem is not only in Lagos. I debunk that. But yeah, I think...
Bring evidence.
Evidence, no deal.
There's no evidence.
All right, guys. If you're watching us, you know what to do. Share, like, subscribe, and have fun. And for our audio lovers... Bulu, Afa.
Yeah. For audio lovers, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Hiat Radio, and anywhere else you can get your podcast. Why is Anomaly looking at me like that?
All right, people. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye, people.
Yeah, then, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.